we're starting a new series this week called Finish to Start. And someone brought these, you know, these finish line things. I would have thought of putting like orchids there or something. You know what I mean? That this church is so progressive. Lilies. How about some lilies at the foot of the cross? You know. But look at these guys. I mean, they put finish line. They are so cool. I'm telling you, it's really a cool thing. So I get to, gentlemen, start your engines. You know what I mean? Let's get this thing revved up. You know, I like to get things revved up, and I'm excited. I'm really excited because this is this the month Easter's in? Yes, this is, and that's my favorite time of the year. That's like the beginning of my spiritual life. That is my New Year's. You know what I mean? It's New Year's Eve to me. Easter is New Year's Eve. It's just the beginning, you know? It just starts it off. And I get so excited about it because, you know, we do celebrate the risen Christ here every week. Amen? Amen. But something happens in this season, in the spirit, in the world, where people's hearts are so open. I'm telling you, so open to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, like never before. It's like Christmas, but, you know, I like Easter better for some reason. You know, I'm not a good gift giver. Judy, my wife, is the best gift giver in the whole world. She'll make your birthday seem like Christmas. Honest to goodness, you know. I said, aren't you overdoing it a little bit? Not at all. She never backs down for a minute from giving stuff. And, you know, but I'm not that generous. And so, but God loves me just as much. You know, she calls me cheap, but God calls me frugal. And so, you know, he loves so everything about you. I'm telling you, he loves you so much. He loves your voice, the sound of your voice. He loves, you know, your hair. He just loves. I'm just overwhelmed with his love for you this morning, you know. And I'm just so glad you're here. So let's look in the Bible, jump into the Bible, in the book of I think I gave Ron as notes the whole book of Ephesians. You know, Sandy is such a great teacher, she can narrow it down. I have actually two messages this morning. Anyway, and 15 minutes to do it. So in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, it says, but God. Ooh, I love that part. But God. I could just sit over here and think about that for, but God. I am so glad God butted into my life, you know. I mean, I just love, but God. If it weren't for God, I wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't be here sharing with you. So excited. But God, who is rich in mercy. We're talking about value, okay? We're talking about the real value. You know, people's houses are being foreclosed on. People are having financial problems, job problems. But it's time to find the true riches. It's really time to find the true riches. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy. Mercy is new every morning. The economy of heaven is mercy, is grace, is love. We're rich. I am the richest man on the planet, you know? I mean, I have seven beautiful kids. Most of them are here this morning, except for my two boys. And and I am so rich. I am so rich. And rich in mercy. It makes me merciful because of his great love. Say, great love. Great love. Greater love than this. Greater love than you can imagine. You know, some people are saying this morning, I'm jumping way ahead of myself. How? 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 How will this happen? How can I do this? How is it? And God's saying, how much more? That's what God's saying. How much more? How much more? God is a God of much more. Much more than we can even ask or think. Beyond our capacity to know. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead. Wow. I go to this all the time. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, and he has not changed his mind. He has not changed his mind about us. How many know that? How many still sin? Well, once in a while. Even when you were dead in trespasses and sin, it is by grace. Grace. Oh, I jumped ahead of my... Even when you were dead in trespasses, he made us alive. Whew. I feel so alive. You know, I feel so alive. At 69 years old, I feel so alive. You know what I mean? I said, don't give me a birthday party yet. Give me one next year. It's a milestone. I'll be 70. You know, and give me that when I'm at a milestone. You know, I want to feel so alive. My kids help keep me alive. You know, God keeps me alive. And together, alive together. Alive together. It says in what? And made us. And raise us up together to what? Sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, he said, Kevin, sit right here. Sit right here. Sit down. And Kevin's going, no, I don't want to sit there. You know, he said, sit, Kevin. You know, seated in heavenly places. I'm not good enough, God. I'm just not good enough. I'm not there. Dave, sit down. Sit with me. I mean, the Father wants us. His nearness is our good, and He knows that. And He's always called, come on. Come on, sit near me. Sit next to me. Sit near me. His nearness will change your heart. Okay? Not staying away from God. Well, when I get better, I'll go to church. And when I get better, I'll come to Him. No, His nearness is our good. We get better because of Him. You know, we get better because we're near to Him. We get His nearness. So he draws us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, here we are, right here. This is the ages to come, isn't it? I mean, he's talking about this back then, and this is the ages to come. What? He might show His exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God wants to show us off. God desires to show us off. You might think I'm a show-off. You know what I mean? No. He wants to show me off. Look what I did in that guy. Look what I did in that guy. Oh, my gosh. You know, I tell you the stories all the time of the Christian ladies at work praying for me all the time because I was so bad, so bad. And I came in on Monday morning after getting saved Sunday. I said, I got saved. They said, no, not you. Anybody but you. Well, weren't you praying for me? Oh, yeah, we were praying for you, but, you know, I mean, He wants to show us off. I mean, He really wants to show us off. He wants to show Doug off, and He wants to show Joe off. He wants to show us off. Look at these. Look at what I've done. Look what I've done in these people. Look, they're here. They're glorious. They're beautiful. Oh, my mercy and grace was poured out upon them, and look what happened. They're smiling. They're smiling. They're confident. They're joyous. They understand. They know who I am. Oh, man, He is showing us off the world to the world right now. And that's what they need to see. They need to see us alive, joyous, happy, positive, hopeful. That's who we need to be. It says, for it is by grace. Grace. Is Bob working? That's my grace guy. Oh my gosh, this guy, grace changed his life. I mean, it changed his life. He just loves grace, talks about grace all the time. We're in a revival of grace, folks. I'm telling you. Well, don't wait for a revival. We're in a revival of grace because where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And it's outpouring. Grace is outpouring like never before. Never before. Not just in this place, in the grocery store and in the city. It's pouring out. Grace is pouring out. God is not surprised by sin. He made provision for their sin by pouring out grace, more grace. Grace, grace, grace. Great grace was upon them all. Great grace is upon us all. It's upon us. I mean, it's tangible. It's tangible. Grace is so tangible. And I was in the grocery store the other day, and this lady who, and her husband, who I've been friends with, not friends with, known in the community. Sandy lives in the same community, little community. You know, hi, how you doing? Hey, good morning. Hey, how you doing? Never asked him a question. Never witnessed to him nothing. You know what I mean? And she comes up to me. She says, you're a minister, aren't you? I said, uh-huh. Yeah. She says, would you tell me about grace? I know nothing about it. Something's happening. See, something's happening in the spiritual realm out there. When you make a decision, and I've made a decision not to judge anybody by if they're white or black. No, white or black, you know. Male or female, okay? Skinny or fat. If you see people like God sees people, God, I want to walk in that grocery store and see people how you see them and bless them.
it will drop a barrier, a spiritual barrier that has been there that we set up, okay, by walking around like this. There's a spiritual barrier. I'm telling you, when you make a decision, and I'm telling you, do it for Lent. I mean, you make this decision, I will not judge. But it's my right. It's in the Constitution. You know, it's one of my inalienable rights, you know. Drop it. Drop it. And see what happens. See what happens. I'm telling you, just love. I'm going to be a lover of God, lover of people. I heard that somewhere. I'm going to be a lover of God, and I'm going to be a lover of people. I don't care if they're fat, skinny. I don't even care if they're cute or hot, you know what I mean? Or not, you know what I mean? I mean, we because that's how God sees us. We look down at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen, we see God in His value system, start to finish, start to finish, start to finish. Oh my gosh. Everybody's in a journey. Everybody's on a journey. You know, for my birthday, my son, Luke, wrote the most incredible thing to me. All my kids wrote beautiful things on Facebook. I love Facebook because they write great stuff and show pictures of themselves, you know, and pictures of one another. Thank you, Anna, for... Where'd Anna go? She left? Oh, there's... Hi, Anna. Anna, my daughter, she wrote pictures of... So pictures of her brothers and sisters, you know, and wrote nice things about them. But my son wrote, "Thank you, Dad, for keeping me in the walk of Christianity without preaching to me." Whew. Now, I had just stopped preaching at him a couple years ago. And it's hard. I'm a preacher, for crying out loud, you know. He's a church kid. You know, I mean, he was raised in the church, but he's on his journey. He's on his own journey. See, he's on his journey. There's start to finish, but he's... I'm jumping ahead of myself. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. Now here's the second message. Hebrews 11. Now faith is... Faith is... the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, everybody's on a journey, folks. It's not finished yet. We're on a journey. And we can't look at the things which are seen, okay? And I did this little equation, okay? Last night I gave it to Ron about 10 o'clock or something. You know, and it says, faith is not self-determination. Okay? I was raised in the faith message. All right? And I thought faith was just trying harder. Oh, if I could just try harder, you know, believe harder, if I could just be better, if I could just say it better, say it right. And it was necessary, and it helped me so much. I love it. It was incredible. The faith message was wonderful, you know. Faith is not self-determination. Faith is termination of self. See, the Bible tells us to die to ourselves. And there's a little equation. I flunked general math, but it's a simple one. Here's the equation. Faith plus me equals me. Faith minus me equals faith. Faith is. It just is. I'm in this huge learning curve, folks, to walk in faith. Just it is. I mean, it just is. Sometimes I just have to settle into faith. I just have to settle in there. I love to do it because I'm a meditator, contemplator, you know, and I just have to sit in faith. I love to wait on God. I just love it. It's the way I pray. And like I said, smile at God. And know He's smiling back at me. Because this is the confidence I have in Him. See, this is the confidence I have in Him that nothing, say it with me, nothing will separate me from the love of God. That's the confidence. It's not being cocky. At this age, if I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, who I'm supposed to be married to, where I'm supposed to be living, you know what I mean? I mean, when am I going to get it? I get it, okay? This is the confidence I have in Him. I am fully persuaded. We need a church that's fully persuaded. The church is not fully persuaded. They go in and out and in and out, and that's not faith. They go in and out and in and out. I am fully persuaded that nothing will separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And then Paul names a whole bunch of stuff. you know, like principalities and powers. No devil! You know, I don't care what the Hollywood makes them look like. You know, the devil's not bigger. All right? Sin's not greater because grace is abounding. Grace is, I mean, I feel it. I just feel grace, 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 grace. He wants me to release grace all the time. Grace, grace, grace. Mercy, mercy, mercy. I mean, I'm a conduit. I'm a flow. I let it flow through me. Flow, flow, flow. So faith is substance. You know why? Faith is not, it's substance. It means so much. It's not matter. It's not matter. This is matter. Okay? It's substance. You can't see it. And that's why it's so powerful to God, because it's in His realm, the unseen realm. See, it's easy to believe in this because we can stand on it, you know, and everything. But when you believe in faith, substance of faith, the unseen realm, something that hasn't happened yet, something that's coming to pass, God is so pleased. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, because you're entering into His realm. You're entering into His realm. I know that, baby. And you want to dedicate that baby again? Come on. That baby, love that. That's a miracle baby. Did I tell you that's a miracle baby? They weren't supposed to have babies. You know, there it is. Woo! Yes, give God a hand clap for that one. Woo! Glory to God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Who's hoping for something? See, it's not how. It's how much more. How much more? Write that down. How much more? When you go how, God's saying, how much more? How much more will by the precious blood of Jesus? How much more? How much more that oh, how much more? More, more, more. More, Lord. More, Lord. Oh, let's go back there. Let's go back to Ephesians. But we got to hurry up here. Ephesians. It says, it's not by works, lest anyone should boast. It's not performance. It's not by performance. We're raised in a performance society, aren't we? You know, we're graded on everything. How well we did on the test, how well, you know, we did whatever we're doing. That's not God, okay? He's not a performance God. He loved us while we were yet failing, while we were yet sinners. He loved us, and He still loves us. It says, it's not by works, lest anyone should boast. Doug's, you know, not doing better because he can sing better than me. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, Judy's not better than me because she's a better giver. You know what I mean? We each have things in our life that God is just so thrilled with. He is so thrilled with. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which He has prepared before that we should walk therein. We should walk in the Spirit. That's the walk we have. Not in the flesh. Not judging people by how they look, how they're performing. Take our eyes off that. That's the work that we're supposed to do. And it's easy. I just said it wasn't easy. It's hard to change your mind. That's what repentance is. It means to change your mind. That's what it means, to turn around, to change your mind about God and about His value system and about Him rating you and about those around you who you think they're rating, who deserve a better rating or a lesser rating than you do because of their performance. It's to walk in the Spirit, walk in love. Love, that's what it's about. Oh, it is hard, but once you get into it, it's freeing. It's so freeing, I'm telling you. And I want to be around those kind of people. You know, I really want to be around all those kind of people. That's true yoke fellowship. That's what being together is. Where we are is workmanship. Okay, so now I'm going to jump to verse 12 because verse 11 is a little confusing. And it says, and at that time, you who were without Christ. Now, there was a time where I was without Christ, okay, where I didn't know Christ. Being aliens, I was far out.
far out. I'm telling you, I can't even tell you how far out I really was. You know what I mean? Only others can tell you how far off I was. Being aliens of the commonwealth and strangers. I was a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction. You know, an alcoholic vegetarian. You know what I mean? It was just like, ho! I was trying, you know what I mean? I mean, it was crazy. I'll try that. That'll work. I'll try that. You know what I mean? Oh, that looks good. You know, I think it's got to be worse with the web pages today. I'll try that. You know, I just wanted to be better, do better. And I wasn't getting there. You know, it says, strangers from the covenant of promises, having no hope without God in the world. Been there, you know. Whew, no hope. I mean, I felt hopeless. I really did. I mean, that's why every cause that came up around, you know, every cause, I said, well, yeah, I'll sign that. I'll do this. And nothing's wrong with signing that or doing that. But I'm telling you, it's not the hope. He is the hope. He has the whole world in his hands. He's in control. He's still in control. Okay? He's not overwhelmed. He's not frustrated. He's not angry. He's not mystified by what's going on. He is just not mystified by this. Okay? I mean, there's a whole culture that really in the world that wants to change the notion of marriage. Okay? Never in the history of the whole universe or the world has a people said, okay, we're going to change this. You know? But God's bigger. He is so much bigger. I don't know how he's going to do it, but it's certainly out of my control. All my fussing and fighting or whatever, or, you know, I mean, I just got to get God's heart on this whole thing, you know? And that's why I'm in this huge learning curve, you know? I'm in this huge learning curve of how can I be more merciful? How can I be more gracious? How can I be more understanding, you know? Because I'm older. And it was never like this before, you know. It's hard for me, you know. I told you I'm heterosexual to a fault. You know, I got 7 kids. Ooh, this is tough stuff that we're trying to love God and love people at the same time. Okay, so be patient with me, world. It says, but now, whoo, hallelujah, in Christ, you who were once far off. I was so far off, I couldn't believe it, you know. Only my wife knows how far off I really was, you know. I mean, I was so far off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Whew. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Whew. So far off. Once I was far off, then I was made near. July 17th, 1979, you know all about it. I can't preach without talking about it. Once I was far off, now I was made near. In an instant, in a moment of time, to walk from the front to the back, by saying a prayer, however you want to say it. Once I was far off, I was made near. It was so easy, so simple. No one ever told me. Why didn't they tell me in my religion? You know, why didn't they tell me? They made it so hard. I was jumping through hoops. You know, I was trying all kinds. I gave up. That was what God was waiting for me to give up and go to him. It says, for he is our peace. He is our peace. That word peace means arene, or there's no barriers between us and God anymore. Only the ones we create in our own mind. No barriers between us and people anymore. Only the ones we create in our own mind. No barriers between God and the people in the grocery store. Only the ones we create in our own mind. Drop the barriers. Because he died for the whole world. He redeemed the whole world unto himself. They just don't know it yet. And we're the ones that break the barrier. He broke the barrier. We just got to break through the rest of the way. He is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation. Whew. We're celebrating it this month. You know, when he was on the cross, start to finish. When he's on, I get to preach Good Friday. Sandy asked me to preach Good Friday. You know, tough Friday, but it's glorious. I'm telling you, it's glorious. He said, "It is finished. It is finished." He did the work that you could enter in to that place.
He has broken down the middle wall of separation, have abolished in his flesh the enmity or the condemnation that is the law of commandments against us. God is for us. He's not against us. God is for us. He is so for us. He is so for us. What time is it? 10 to 12. We're going to end in Philippians. This is my prayer. This is my prayer. Paul's prayer, my prayer. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. You know, I see my friends come here this morning. I thank God for you guys. You know, I prayed for you. I'm serious. I love praying. I mean, that's what I do. I pray for people. I come in contact with them. I pray. You know, pray for Joe. Pray for more. Pray for my whole family. Woke up this morning. You know, I mean, it just begin to pray. Thank God, you know. This is what Paul does. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. When you think of somebody, God's reminding you to pray for them. You know, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. Oh, that you would know, bless, that you would know the love of Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I don't care where you're at this morning. You're here for a new beginning. You're here for a new beginning. This is the first day of the rest of your spiritual life. And you can delete everything. Hit delete, start over. I do it all the time. That's our God. His mercy is new every morning. Every morning. That's the riches of the kingdom pouring out every morning. It's right there for everybody, but only a few recognize it. Every morning, say mercy. I can smile at God and know he's smiling back at me because of his mercy. It's because of his grace. I don't live in condemnation, fear, rejection. I live in his presence. And that's what he wants you to do this morning. He wants you to live in that place. And he's gave us, really, a memorial for that. He really gave us a memorial for that, for new beginnings. He says, often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And he took bread, didn't he? How many got bread in their house? He took something very simple. He took something very simple. Something that somebody could relate to. Fresh bread. I bought challah bread. I'm sure it was challah bread. You know, at the Last Supper. You know, he took bread. Because he wanted this to be simple for you to start all over again. Whenever. What did he do? He took bread just like this. You guys need some more? Do you need some more bread? Everybody okay? What did he do? We're passing out the cups. He took bread. You know, there's going to be a whole new beginning right there at the Last Supper. It was a new beginning for everybody. Not just for the apostles sitting there because they needed a new beginning. You know, they weren't going to be fishermen anymore. You know, they weren't going to be doubters anymore. They were going to be believers. They're going into the most dynamic part of their life. Yes, you are too. You're going into the most dynamic part of your life. This is the first day of the rest of your life, and you're starting it this morning with a clean slate with these wonderful people. Oh, I am so excited for you guys. And it's Easter season, and this is better than Christmas. I mean, this is incredible. I mean, what do we got, about 4 weeks? Whew. Just to see people as God sees them. The finished work. Start to finish. See them finish. See them glorious. See them praising the Lord. See them thanking Jesus. See them thanking God. Whew. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So he took bread. Has everybody got their bread? What did he do? He took bread and he broke it. Signify his broken body. He took bread and he broke it and he said, this is broken for you. You know, it was a joy that was set before him when he went to the cross because he saw you. He saw you here this morning coming to him with all your heartaches and pains and hurts and disappointments and misunderstanding about who God is and what's this all about, you know. But it didn't deter him from doing it anyway, you know. For the whole world, and he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, his friends, and he said, take and eat. Let's eat this bread together. Bread of his presence. Then he said, you know, he took the cup. You know, he said, this is the cup, the New Testament. The old's over. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. Maybe you never understood the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You're here this morning. He said, you know, I didn't even know there was a difference. There's a difference. It's not about ordinances and laws. It's about his love. It's all about his love. Thank you. And he bled. This is sealed in his blood. That's what communion is about. His body and his blood and these simple elements that he made sacramental by blessing them. It's showing us that we could do this on a regular basis. Every morning at breakfast. Every evening at dinner. When you're gathered with your family for his birthday. I did it with my kids last week for a birthday party. I said, guys, listen, commit yourself one to another. Your mother and I have committed ourselves to you, and now you really need to commit yourself to one another in a deeper way because you're adults now. So we need this morning, if this is, you know, this is an excellent time to say, this is my beginning. My beginning with July 17th, 1979, at 780, 760, 755 yeah, in the evening. This can be your new beginning. Call it what you want. Call it being born again. You know, I like born again. I was born again, you know. But, you know, terminology is getting a little funny these days. So, just say this is my new beginning in his blood. Here's my life, Lord. Let's drink the cup together. And as often as you do these things, so it's meant to do often, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this new beginning. This time we've gotten to spend with you this morning to start over. For some of us, it's the first time. For some of us, it's one of many times. For others, we're just on the journey, Lord. So we just ask your blessing. Bless these people, Lord, your people. Bless those that you died for, that you gave your life for. In Jesus' name.